Well, on the Cine-Asia front, admittedly this is kind of Dragon Dynasty question, but I'll hijack it slightly. The releases they've got coming up are already out is The Myth, Ultimate Editions, which Stu says they're rubbish, didn't you, Stu?
Well, let's just judge it by me lifting up the case and feeling a little bit weight in it. Come on.
2 discs, how rubbish!
Like, should go the case. There's two in there.
And then they've got a Machine Girl Steelbook Edition and Machine Girl Blu-ray. See, I was wrong about it's not Cine-Asia that's releasing Tokyo Gore Police, but Tokyo Gore Police is coming to the UK. So I saw the cover and it looks awesome. They're releasing House of Fury, which is a little bit curious.
A few years old already.
It's old, and as far as I'm aware, it's not supposed to be that great.
I quite like it. I've got a rewatch value out of it, so.
Fair enough. Apartment 1303, which is a Japanese horror, but I think that's a re-release.
Ah, yeah, that's already out in stores.
Kung Fu Dunk with Jay Chou.
Good lord.
Is that a Wong Jinger produced one?
Maybe produced, but it's more importantly, it's directed by Chu Yanping, director of Island of Fire. Kevin Chu. But I'm not keen to watch that movie at all, actually. Even though I'm a fan of his, the director. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say you're a Jay Chou fan, then.
No, I'm not.
You say like that for?
Look at me, I have one expression.
By my
by my records. I can't smile.
My girlfriend likes his singing, apparently.
Oh, as long
he's
as
a good songwriter,
maybe he's a good singer, as long as you don't have to look at him. I'm bored. Buy my records.
And then after that, they're releasing Fatal Move, which Sammo Hung, Simon Yam,
Wu Jing, right,
Danny Lee.
Yeah, Danny Lee. I've heard it's poo.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
But, you know, could be wrong. I've got a feeling Simon Yam's going to be a cop or a gangster in it.
Cop, I believe. Just based on the cover, it looks like Sammo is a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Simon Yam must be a cop. And Danny Lee, an older veteran cop.
The way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we've got Sasori, which also features Simon Yam.
That's finally getting a release.
And Sam Lee in it as well.
For the first time anywhere. I think Sasori never got their release in Hong Kong.
Now, is that
the remake of
The Prisoner?
Yeah, exactly, the Joe Ma remake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A remake of what, sorry?
The remake of Scorpion, Prisoner, Female Prisoner, Thingway.
See, I haven't really heard. I've heard the title before. I knew a couple of people in it, but I didn't really actually know anything about it.
It's an old film already. I mean, Adam spoke of it, like, watching it at last year's Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's only from last year, though, right?
Right, but no Hong Kong release and barely a cinema release at best. So, I mean, it's one of those movies. By the way, Adam hated it.
Was it shit?
Yeah. It's the worst film you've ever seen. so I'm surprised it's the release anyway.
That's out in September, so that's interesting. I'm sure you're going to be ready with the pre-order here, Kenneth and Stuart. In fact, all of us. Everybody should be. 5th of October 2009, Sniper! With celebrity muff photographer Edison Chen.
Put that on the cover, that would be sweet. I'll probably get the Hong Kong DVD before any UK special edition.
Yeah, because you won't be able to wait, will you? And then on October as well, It Man Blu-ray. It's already got a Hong Kong release on Blu-ray, right? And as far as I know, Region 3. You know, and then end of the year, in November time, Beastalker.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know Andrew Sarrett, a reviewer on Far East Films, Actually, I never know. I'm not sure if it's Sarek or Sarek. I'm always favouring Sarek. Anyway, he reviewed it and loved it.
Yeah, I quite liked it as well. Read my review as well. Award-winning beast stalking.
If I just say award-winning reviews.
Not yet.
Aww.
I'm only 7 years into it. I'm not ready for review awards yet.
I think that's quite an interesting lineup of films.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of convinced me to reopen my Love Film account, because it does look like a constant stream of Hong Kong films. The ones I probably would have ended up importing anyway, but if I know they're all coming out, I could just rent these.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really... Speaking of the Beast Stalker only, it's not really the high-profile movie. And that, in Hong Kong, from this year, last year, that therefore means that they're keeping an eye out for it. And that kind of film. You know, it's a well-made film, it's a fairly big-budget film, but it's not really, you know, the buzz film. Which there are very few of in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. So I mean, credit to them for looking up even that film.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to back up that cobbler's theory, HMV are still listing Drunken Master 2 as available for pre-order, and have been for the past like 3 years. So I wouldn't trust their site.
But would that still the pre-order? I guess is for the American version of the film.
And not absolutely just... no idea.
Okay.
Well, HMV only sell Region 2 DVDs.
Yeah. What I'm saying is probably the American edit missing.
Oh,
the
I see. Stuff. Legend it's of the Drunken Master.
Yeah, exactly. It's not an ultimate edition waiting to happen.
No, balls
or
to
fans.
That.
Of course not.
I don't think anybody in the country, anybody actually knows who owns the rights to Drunken Master 2 in this country. Because I spoke to Disney before, and they said they own the rights, but then I spoke to them again, I found out again that they said they don't have the rights. So I spoke to Warner Brothers, have the rights, supposedly supposed to have the rights, and they don't either. Who knows who owns anything?
Oh, and it's also got, is it Wong Yu Nam or Wong Nam Yu? He was in AV.
The guy from the one half of Shine.
Yeah. He plays a serious role in the movie, and he actually does quite well.
Right. What happened to them? They were in Wong Yu Nam and Choi Tin Yao. They were in movies all the time, and because they were in Shine, were popped to Shine, but they only pop up sporadically nowadays. So maybe Shine has had their time in the spotlight, and now they focus on, you know, focus on movies more, and therefore be picky. So.
Yeah, was that like a subtle pun for you there?
No, actually, I thought I had the pun, but then I chose Spotlight, which sounded less like a pun. But you found it funny,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Ip Man, I don't know how widespread this has been, but according to the nominations at the Hong Kong Film Awards. Sammo Hung shared the award, the Action Design Award, with Tony Leung Siu-Hung.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it was a joint action direction effort. Not maybe 50-50, but maybe it did enough to warrant the design. And Tony Leung Siu-Hung is obviously not a bad talent to have in any vehicle.
Yeah.
He's a very good action director, and has been for many years. A pretty good director, too. Especially when he's not doing action or martial arts, when he's directing other genres, he's quite a talented guy. So, and as I said, Ip Man picked up Best Action Design and Best Movie at Hong Kong Film Awards, which some people find irritating, but
I think deservedly so.
But didn't it share the Best Movie Award?
Share it.
That's what I read. I thought.
No,
there was some sharing of award win. Wasn't it?
No. They never do that at the Hong Kong Film Awards unless it's very special occasions. So
I
beat out CJ7, Penny Skin, Where We Are, Sparrow, I think. No, CJ7's payment skin, Redcliffe, and away we are. By the way, what was that Dean Sheck bit you were talking about? You wanted to talk about, or would that apply to the plugin?
Well, I can't be bothered to do it now, but I was just going to on Far East Films, there was a topic I think I mentioned to you about most annoying actor.
Right, okay.
And I kind of wrote like Dean Sheck on there. That's my, you know, that was the first thing that popped into my head. But then actually thinking about it, and having a good, you know, mulling it over for a while, I came to the stunning conclusion that actually, I don't mind Dean Sheck. Because usually when I watch him, that I can think the roles that come into mind were stuff like Drunken Master. Is it Drunken Master?
Naked English Shadow as well.
Yeah. Iron Fisted Monk and stuff like that, where he's annoying, don't get me wrong, and usually wearing, sporting a mole and lots of hair, and you know, I want to see him get his face punched in, but that's kind of the point of him. He's there to be annoying and to get his face punched in at some point or be humiliated.
He pisses pants.
Yeah, so kind of like, he's good at doing that role, so it's not so much him that's annoying, it's the character that he plays, but he's good at it. And he's in Black Tavern, Shaw Brothers film, which is a minor gem of a Shaw Brothers film, and he's really good at it. And he is the focus of one of the most elegant introductions on a movie I've ever seen, especially a Kung Fu film.
Is that the movie where he sings?
Yeah, it's brilliant. He's like a beggar that comes in and does a little song about some rich guy who's coming into town. And he's going round, and all the main characters in the story, most of them are all sitting in this bar, and he goes to each one just singing his song. And it you know, visually kind of introduces to everything and gives you an idea of what's happening and the situation just brilliantly. So actually, I think I'm going to declare an official Mike Banner amnesty against Dean Sheck. No more cheap Dean Sheck bashing.
All right, let's show you a crazy couple then, and then report back. If a movie gives you a fucking headache from just hearing this high-pitched noise for 90 minutes, which is the whole of Dean Sheck's performance... then, you know... Try that out, Mike. It's on a VCD in Hong Kong. So,
and if you go through with this, this could actually compromise Shekin.
But we still want him as our half mascot, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We do like him a bit. I would have to say he's one of his like only bearable movies where he's kind of in neutral for him is The Raid. Choi Hak and Ching Su Dong's The Raid. Where he plays sort of an elderly, I don't know, to put it simply, elderly Indiana Jones type of character. Where he's more of an old soldier than anything else, doubled throughout whenever he's doing action. But he's not being Dean Sheck in that movie. He's just being, you know, an old guy.
Yeah.
Right.
In a fairly fun adventure.
I was about to say, yeah, actually, I was going to say, if anybody's more likely to annoy me, it'll be Carl Macker.
Hmm.
Really? He pops up and does some, you know, comedy shtick that isn't funny, and it feels kind of like the Carl Macker bit. Possibly, I see. I'm not really familiar with Chapman Toe, but I get the impression from people that are annoyed by him is that regardless of what the film is, he just comes in and does his Chapman Toe shtick.
Did, I would have to say. I think that's behind him a bit now. He's done some serious roles. And done them quite well, actually. So.
Fair enough.
But yeah, he can be annoying in that low key way. You know, he doesn't need to shout and scream and whine. Watch like The Attractive One, if anyone is keen to find out how Chapman Toe can be annoying. Watch that Lao Ching Wan romantic comedy. He co-stars in that one. If you're curious, anyone out there.
Maybe not curious enough.
Anyway. Anyway,
to the plugin.
Well, keeping on a short leash, however you say it, Mike. You seem dedicated to makes do.
An honest man.
An honest man all through the band list. But it seems like you're into the system now, Stu.
Yeah, I'm getting there. That's the thing, when I do go look at my DVDs and it, right, I must double check it with the band list. I can just hear Mike shouting at me, don't I? So, yeah,
an effect on him, Mike, so good on you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking out for the interest of the listeners.
I'm getting emails, Facebook messages, and text messages from him. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm watching this film. Better be on the band list! I'm getting voice messages on the Xbox Live, personal messages sent to me.
Hearing voices in your head.
Yeah.
Shut up! I will watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, alrighty. I've already watched Young and Dangerous on my list, but I want to watch it again. Then it's sort of like the conscience comes up, but they're just two Mike Banners instead of an angel and a devil.
Ah.
They're both just slapping me about.
They both go, watch a fucking band film. Watch a fucking band film.
Poop, dragon, tiger, get down.
Yeah, well, the Studio Ghibli films usually get decent cinema runs over here.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that's because, you know, they're animated and they get dubbed into English, usually with decent casts.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes them a little bit more mainstream acceptable.
Yeah, and anime certainly has never lost its grip on the UK, kiddie-friendly or not.
So there's always tons of anime coming out over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that company Manga released them in bulk.
So yeah, there's every week there's usually some anime coming out.
It's next volume of Bleach, the start of the next one. There's 50 DVDs and each DVD has 2 episodes on it. That's why I've never really gone into anime, because there was the one I enjoyed, which was Fullmetal Alchemist, and I'd have to rent it. The discs were £15 in the shop and it was only 4 episodes, and that's an hour and 20 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
The prices aren't brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they've got a very dedicated fan base of people who will go out and buy all the box sets and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I thought they'd actually overcome it by releasing them all together in a box set. Oh, great, I could look into the list. And I looked at it, and it's part one of series one. So, oh, God, it's still in parts. I'd say, just put it in one box. I don't care if it's 50 discs.
Which is a sort of thing, let me ask you that. You've seen a fair few of, the latter 70s Chorion films, yeah?
Yep.
Do you find them confusing or used to the type of storytelling, you know?
I've never been the kind of person who gets really annoyed at a confusing film.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I kind of, you know, if I'm not understanding what's going on, I kind of just let it wash over me and assume that I'm going to understand later on in the film, or it's going to become clear. Or if it's not by the end of the film, then I'll possibly, you know, dislike it, but it doesn't really interrupt me while I'm watching it. So the Choi Yun ones, I like the fact that there's loads of characters and there's no slow spots in the story. It's bang, 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 interesting characters and a new plot twist, and it's like taking a series, a TV series, and condensing it down into a movie.
Yeah.
And I actually rather like it because I think it's quite exciting, and when it's done well, it's really interesting. It's like Killer Clowns, where characters switch around and the plot changes and all, you know, there's tons of characters in it, most of them dying. And I just find it really exciting, really fast-paced, really enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm probably more the same. I never stop and start sulking during the film. I just, you know, if I get it during the end, I do. And if I only enjoy it on a pure fun level, you know, that was a lot of characters, that was a lot of cool weapons, that was a lot of gore. I like that film. What was it about? I don't know. I like it.
Although Alfred Hitchcock did say a confused audience is one that isn't emoting. Well, he said it a little bit more better than that, but that was basically his gist. If you're confused, then you can't be emotionally kind of into it. Is Lao Ching-Wan in Full Alert?
Yeah. excellent fucking film, though.
I was about to ask if that's any good, because I've seen that a couple of times for £1.
Ah, yeah, it's good.
I wondered whether I should buy it or not.
Yeah, I've got the UK
excellent
DVD as well.
Ringo Lam film, that is fairly excellent. That is story, action, and, you know, all combined, very gritty, very Ringo Lam.
Oh, it hasn't got lots of that, like, talky shit between the action, has it? That Stu hates so much.
Well, no, it was fine for me. It's also got Frances and Chin Carlock.
One of the best car chases in recent memory for me.
I do remember that.
Car chase on these very tight Hong Kong streets. Very well made. It's an excellent fucking film, that. And Chin Kalok is excellent in that. It's one of his good acting roles there. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Prioritize that one, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah. When I see it again, I'll grab it.
So, are we basically...
Yeah, Phil Ayrt's on the banned list. That's next.
that is on the banned list?
It is indeed. Rewatch. Right. Ka-ching. So,
Ka-ching, yeah. I guess it means ka-ching because you're not buying movies right now. So, so I guess that is the definition of...
I'm saving money and watching a good film at the same time.
Yeah. Well, but
people are looking at it like, John Woo's Chinese? I thought I only directed the three films. Mission Impossible, Face Off, and the one with Ben
Affleck. Paycheck. which was a very apt name for that film.
Yes.
For everyone involved.
Never got into seeing it, but I've always gathered it's not a good film to begin with.
It's really, you know, it had flashes of some John Woo decent stuff, but otherwise it's just a standard film, really. It's not terrible. It's not good. Decent now in the end, but, you know, it feels like one of those John Woo moves that he could probably do while he's doing another big, hopefully great movie, you know.
Yeah.
While I have this time over, while my left hand isn't doing anything, I might as well direct this.
But, yeah, this looks like to be the should be the promising comeback of John Woo when it comes to directing Hong Kong films.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it now that both are out. Mm-hmm. And normally, again, we talked about what movies lures us in, you know, via trailers and stuff, and the big period epic doesn't really, but therefore I'll watch it eventually. It's one of those movies that I'll get eventually, and probably the two movies in one go, basically, because if it's a big story, I probably want to see them as close as I can together, because I reckon the second one doesn't start with a 10-minute recap, but then again,
on Redcliffe.
they have been doing that occasionally with movies, even going back to like King Who's A Touch of Zen. Mm-hmm. It's not really a recap, it replaced like the
I showed you the trailer from the first film with the ending, like the Police Story 2. They showed you everything that happened in Police Story 1.
Exactly. With A Touch of Zen, they just replayed the Bamboo Force fight from the end, from the middle of A Touch of Zen, and that was the end of part 1 for cinema release in like Hong Kong, and part 2 opened with that fight again, and then we basically lost 80 minutes of that 3-hour film. But so who knows? I don't know how Redcliffe ends as such, but maybe it could like play out the last 5 or 10 minutes of it in part 2 and not be disruptive at all. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I basically don't know, and I will only know when I watch it. So why even bother theorizing? Mm-hmm. JSA is just wow. Mm-hmm. It's not spoiling anything, but the last shot of JSA, it's centers around a photograph.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fucking amazing end shot of that film.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm gonna say. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And Park Chan Wook for me is never done as good.
Okay.
That was his best movie for me, and mm-hmm. it's been like a small decline after that.
And for people that's not seen it and do see it in store, it's not as serious as the front cover gives you an impression of, because the front cover is awfully cold and like unforgiving.
JSA is certainly very Park Chan Wook quirky, very human comedy.
Yes.
With this relationship that the different north and south sides have at these this guard post that on the border.
Mm-hmm.
But now we won't be able to go and see in the cinema unless we set it up ourselves.
Like what Mike's done in the past.
Exactly.
Because what films did you introduce to the world?
Had a European premiere of Contour.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, which is awesome. UK premiere of Camfensage, aka The Challenge. That was it.
Right, questions answered. Ken, do you have a segment for us this evening?
No, I don't. But I'm actually going to ask Adam a question on the subject of Cannes, if you will. Any? How was Cannes? Was it as boring as ever?
I still fucking hate it, but actually this year was probably the worst because it was very hot and I hate the heat, and the films, every film that I was looking forward to, such as Thirst and Air Doll and what else was it? The new film from the guy, Blood of Rebirth, the film the guy who did Porno Star, and the new Kankuro Kudo film, Donju, all these films, the new Takashi Miike film, the new Sion Sono film, they were all disappointing. The only film I liked was District 13 Ultimatum.
It's a sequel, I guess, to B13?
Yeah. Well, here they call it District 13.
Right.
But yeah, I guess it's Banual 13.
Mm.
Still short and sweet, or did they go...
No.
Did it try to be important filmmakers all of a sudden?
No. 90 minutes of exactly the same thing as the first film.
Goody.
Yes.
Safe bet.
By the way, did you get a chance to catch Vengeance?
No, I didn't, actually. I mean, it was quite funny because it was playing in regular cinemas there because it had come out. It's playing in France. It started playing in France about 3 days before it premiered in Cannes anyway. But so I wasn't asked to see it. I'll see it at some point. I was out with the editor of it and the guy who did the score for it recently at Joey's Film Festival.
Terracotta.
Yeah.
Is that David Richardson? Is that the sound guy on Midway?
Well, the editor was... He's actually an English bloke. The editor of that and Sparrow. He lives in London, I think. And the sound guy was...
Right.
It was the sound guy for Sparrow. It wasn't the sound guy for Vengeance. But
right.
From what I hear, it's not fantastic. A few friends of mine saw it. They said it's just another one of his, looks good, nothing particularly happens, a few good action scenes, and that's about it. Not one of his best, not one of his worst, just pretty good.
I never got the impression that it was more than that from the trailer, to be honest, which is comforting to some degree, because you know a solid Johnny Toe movie in that vein is not a waste of time for me, but you can't do that forever, obviously. You need to evolve. I guess Sparrow was a good example of, you know, him doing something like that. Having playtime was one of my was one of the things I wrote in my review. I thought Sparrow was Johnny Toe having playtime.
Yeah, it was him just playing around, remaking some films he used to love. And I think he's just turned into a French 60s director now, it would seem.
It was quite lovely. One of my favorite moments from Sparrow is this driving sequence with Simon Yam and Kelly Lynn, I think, where it's this like 5 minute sequence where he's lighting the cigarette, and there's cool angles, cool music, and then it ends with him starting to cough, you know, breaking his cool. which doesn't sound very fun when I'm saying it, but I like the fact that they, you know, aborted the cool, the French New Wave cool, with that. And it's a lovely film. A few people that have seen it, maybe an opinion split, I don't know, we just have to, because as you said way back when you say it, it's not a film really, because very few things happen in the film that are, and very few things of importance. It's just atmosphere. But that's
alright. But these films, they can be alright. I mean, it's short and just floaty. It's just sitting there and enjoying what's going on screen instead of having anything really going on.
Now I have to crack minds open.
It's not on a banned list.
It is, indeed.
Oh, it is. There you go.
Sitting there still in its wrapping and everything.
Well, have you seen the trailer for Goemon, Adam?
No, I haven't. I mean, when does that come out?
Well, it's already out in Japan. I think it came out last month. It's, well, I don't know if it's going to get a US release, but Warner Brothers are one of the studios behind it, so there's a chance it'll get some kind of DVD release anyway. That's the second film by the director. And the trailer has quite a lot of similarities to the trailer for Cash Earn, so you might like it.
So, like, just watching the trailer? Well, I think I'll go into it with no expectations and hopefully get it on a Blu-ray or something to at least make it look better than... If you see these films on the big screen or something, it's all right, but watching them maybe on a smaller screen or at home on a, you know, DVD, sometimes it can take away from the fact that if you're just watching a purely visual film that has nothing left, then it's, you're not getting the full visual, maybe through Blu-ray or DVD or theatrically, it really takes away a lot from it if there's nothing underneath it. Like, I thought Cash Earned, it was just a mess.
Well, certainly a film that polarizes opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
In the same vein as that Donnie Yen film, then, what was that called? The Wolf.
All of them.
Ledger, there you go. Legend of the Wolf. A poor comparison, but still an opinion split.
Yeah.
Well, is the opinion split in this virtual room? Because I think the film's utter cack.
No, I quite liked it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Adam?
Legend of the Wolf, I haven't seen it. I think I've got a DVD somewhere, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that was like the very first film I ever imported. So I think it was like 13 quid off of eBay. I'm pretty sure it was a bootleg as well.
Wait, is that the one that was released in England under that company that went bankrupt, Soul Blade?
Yeah, released it as the... Did they put it out as New Big Boss?
Yeah.
Someone did. I think in America, Tokyo Shock released it as New Big Boss, but that might have been UK as well. And then,
no, it's New Big Boss, and then underneath it, aka Legend of the Wolf, Soul Blade. Yeah, I've got the DVD here.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute bobbins.
Before fans of it, there's now like a Tai Seng DVD. So, you know, have you bought that still?
No, I've actually just got, well, the imported DVD. And I've never went on to get anything else since then because I wouldn't think there would be much difference because all the releases they've done, it's not as if they're coming out with exclusive features or commentaries. The picture might have looked a little bit cleaner, but...
Mm.
It was not enough for me to replace the copy I already owned.
That's a good point. With Hong Kong cinema, there's the upgrades from, let's say, non-anamorphic to anamorphic isn't necessarily a big leap. It might as well be worse, actually, than if they use the Laserdisc transfer for a cheap DVD whenever they put out an anamorphic print. It might turn out worse, actually, because the print source nowadays is worse than it was 10, 15 years ago. So.
It's just a lot of Donnie Yen, well, typical Donnie Yen posing, but he's added pretension to the mix as well in that one.
See, I don't remember anything. I just remember him kicking the fuck out people when it was cool.
I think we get a sense of what this do takes from movies. You know,
not a lot.
Which is not well.
People and or robots having the fuck kicked out of them.
Maybe it's a Scottish thing.
But I have an example of the crazy people out there. I bought a few years ago one of the few limited editions I sort of desperately wanted. This is non-Asian related in a way, but I bought a Korean limited edition of Dances with Wolves, which had leather casing and both versions of the film on it. One of the discs was scratched, like disc free, which meant I couldn't watch the movie. And I wrote the seller on eBay and explained the situation, and he said, "Oh, why did you open it?" wanted to watch it. Well, this was not meant to be sold and watched. You do know that. No, I am one of those buyers that likes to watch my movies and then still keep, you know, the limited edition on the shelves and keep them on display. But wow, I didn't get far with that guy, and I never got a refund in the end. And fortunately, I got a cheap replacement of the same limited edition a few months later. So, you know, it cost me, but didn't cost me that much. So there you have the kind of people that, you know, are manic in their ways.
Has anybody seen the Nanking? I got a DVD the other day, but I was wondering if anybody's seen it. Was it City of Life and Death?
No, I'm looking forward to it because it's from the director of Kekishili, Mountain Patrol.
Yeah, it's come. You know, it's been picked up in for UK.
It got some good reviews. I mean, there were tons of Nanking related stuff. Obviously, with the it was an even year the other year since the Nanking massacre. But it was documentaries, and there is like an American or English language produced film coming out, I think. And it was lots of stuff, and it ended up not surfacing that much stuff. A documentary came out, and this, which was known as Nanking, once upon a time, but it's now City of Life and Death, as you said, and got some good reviews. So it apparently wants to be more fair and balanced anyway, and not, as usual, portray each side as cartoonish and clownish and uber evil. This seems to be more serious and more mature in approach. It's not like Men Behind the Sun.
Yeah, that's what I read in Cannes. A few people told me it's really good, but I'll watch it. Has anybody seen Sniper or Beastalker yet?
I've seen Beastalker. Sniper just hit DVDs. I haven't bought it yet, but I saw Beastalker, and not too bad, actually. Fan of Dante Lam as the director, and this was good combo for him because he likes his action, he likes his visuals, but at times can do pretty solid drama, and this is a pretty solid one combined with some gritty action, if you will, and a pretty nice car crash sequence, which is a key sequence in the film. Not revolutionary storytelling at all, but really not deserving of a Best Actor award for Nick Chung. He's good, but it's not you know, he wouldn't win an Oscar for this performance if you placed it in Hollywood, but it's all right. And The Sniper, I'm looking forward to just because I'm a Dante Lam fan, and it's finally coming out because there was a bit of snag in between when it wrapped and when it was released.
It's because you're an amateur muff photographer, really, isn't it, Ken? And you look up to your hero.
For a few, you made like bold statements about the Scottish people, and now you're making bold statements about Swedish people as well.
I didn't say Swedish people like to photograph genitals. I just said you.
Well,
very arrogant of you to assume that you represent the whole of Sweden, Kenneth.
well, that's all right then. Now that I know what you meant.
I know you admire Edison's work.
Partially I do. Not that work, but... I haven't seen his photography exhibit that extensively, actually.
Why not?
Because I have no interest in it.
A lot of it wasn't that pleasant.
A lot of it was hidden by lots of hair. There we go.
Yeah, but anyway, The Sniper is out. It's got pretty solid reviews as well. It apparently was recut, and Edison Chen's role actually reduced before distributors wanted to accept that movie, which is very strange and very kind of nasty and evil, but that's what they had to go through. So he's like third billing now, and it shows in the movie. It's actually very much a third character. It's more of Richie Ren starring vehicle now.
They even wiped him off the poster as well, didn't they?
I think he was third on the poster again. He was the smallest
Mr. Blurro in the background.
Hello! I'm still here. I'm still in the film.
That's alright. Edison's off in America anyway, cracking Hollywood.
Yeah.
The Grudge-Free and the Dark Knight being very much evidence of his steady upwards spiral, if you will. Mm-hmm. It was created by Nai Fong, or Yi Kwong, Mike surely knows a thing or two about.
Legendary Shaw Brothers writer. Wrote just a ridiculous amount of the Shaw Brothers films. I don't know how he managed to fit them all in. As well as about 130-odd Wisely books as well.
It's a strange thing. He appears in a few of these films, just a cameo. And again, this doesn't sound very extraordinary at all, but for some reason, in a few of these, he was the only one appearing in sync sound. And then the rest of the movie reverted to the old post-dub. So I don't know if he had it in his contract. I'm only appearing in this movie if my real voice can be heard. So if you watch Seventh Curse, the opening at the party, then cuts to the flashback, he appears in sync sound along with Chiang Fat and Tian Suho, and then it's off to fighting reanimated skeletons post-dubbed.
The only way to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was, I think this must be the possibly the only Choi Soo-ming film I've seen. I've not looked much into him, but he seems like a great character actor as well. He kind of just reminds you so much of like Sammo Hung's little brother.
he's a director who he likes to film big epics. That's his thing. There's a movie called Holy Robe of the Shaolin Temple, a mainland film with Yuron Guang, pretty solid as well. But he has this hard on for big epic scenes filled with loads and loads of people. There's a movie called Mirage, which is kind of the same. And his latest film was...
Champions.
It is The Champions. I keep confusing it with... yeah, that's right. And that's probably, at times a big sweeping thing too. So, but his best role, hands down, that I've seen, is The Buddha's Fist. He co-stars in The Buddha's Fist. And he really shows... his moves there under the direction of the Yung Clan. Great film. It's not like Miracle Fighters at all, Stu.
All right. that worried me a
lot. Which you had a little allergic reaction towards watching the trailer for the Miracle Fighters.
That just happened to be on the DVD for Bury Me High, and I was like, what the fuck is this? That giant stick man's got nads. What the fuck?
Why are you even surprised after watching Mitch match the couples?
Because I just didn't expect giant animated wooden stick men. And...
You should. From now on, you should. You should know better, Stuart.
A Kung Fu master kicks the upper body of a person right off, then realizes there's another person who is the lower body. Like, headbutts him. Yeah, there's two people and not one person. What the fuck?
Gotta love the Yung Clan, man.
Yeah, that's some fucking crazy home videos they're making. I'm liking the way that they're sitting paying respect, and it's actually got a big picture of their actual dad. Like a portrait of Simon Yin. And paying respect with the incense sticks.